You're listening to the Best Today Podcast, episode 67, and I've got to tell you, it's one of my favorites. Let's get started. Welcome to the Best Today Podcast. I'm your host, Shante Grant, creator of the Best Today Guide and owner of the Best Today brand, where we equip women with resources to help you show up as your best one today at a time. If you're ready to trade chaos, comparison, and busy for intentional living, you are in the right place. We believe that intention begins with first knowing who you are and what you want. Here on the podcast, we'll have conversations together about topics that matter to you on the journey of becoming, because we know that being your best leads to doing your best. So welcome to the podcast created to help women all across the globe proclaim, this is what my best today looks like. Let's get started. Hello and welcome to the Best Today Podcast. I am your host, Shante Grant, and today I am in conversation with Maddie James. If you do not know who Maddie James is, she is an author. She is CEO of the Maddie James Company and Bossfluence. And Maddie, in my own words, is a walking personification of joy, generosity, and thoughtfulness. I just have followed her on social media for quite some time. And what I love about Maddie is she exemplifies the Best Today principles of proaction, intentionality, self-awareness, and self-love so beautifully. So yes, I can also tell you that Maddie has worked with tons of household name brands like Netflix and Gerber and Clinique and so many more. She's taught thousands of over 1,000 content creators and influencers how to grow their following and pitch brands. But you know what I think is even more astounding is the human that she is. And she's going to tell you herself, she is a woman who has bet on herself time and time again. So I wanted to bring Maddie here to talk about just that, how she has not only bet on herself, but how she lives a life that is in the overflowing with joy, and how do we do that? And in this conversation, she said something about the ROI, the return on investment of joy. And I loved it. I loved it so much. I want you to listen in on the conversation. And we're going to talk about, most importantly, her upcoming book, which is called Everyday Magic. Maddie's going to share with you more about her book. I'm going to share more about the book at the end, because we are doing a book club with this book in the Best Today community. So look forward to that. Everything, all the links to get in touch with Maddie, to order your book, because I want you to pre-order your book now so you have it by September. It comes out in August. You can pre-order it right now. All the links to that will be in today's show notes at besttodayguide.com/67. But let's get straight to my conversation with Maddie James as we talk about life, joy, and everyday magic. Hello and good morning, Maddie. Welcome to the Best Today Podcast. How are you this morning?
I'm good, Shante. I'm really excited to just kind of be up and at it. You know, we've had a really full week, but honestly, I feel like full weeks force us to like personify what we like preach to ourselves or others. So I'm doing really well. How are you?
I'm doing so great. It is just so exciting to see your face and to chat with you today. So first of all, for those people who are listening who do not know you, can you please tell us in your own words, who is Maddie James? Who are you?
Maddie James is, you know, a woman who just, you know, decided to bet on herself. And I also happen to be Chris's wife. I am Maisa Kaliana and Christian's mom. I'm Matt and Jatu's daughter. I was thinking about that the other day, right? Because I think a lot of times when we introduce ourselves, we automatically go into title, right? Yep. Which is fine. You know, I'm very proud of the work I've done. However, a lot, like in actuality, what defines you is your relationships, right? We're all of our parents' kids, you know what I mean? Yep. And then if you have children yourself, you're their parents. If you're in a relationship or married, you're that person's spouse or partner. And so I kind of started thinking about it like that. But what I do love about myself is that I am somebody who never gave up on myself, right? I always wanted the things that I have in my life. And I never thought that I was too small to have these things. And I was always willing to do the work for them. So when I say I'm a woman who never gave up on herself, that is the capacity that I mean it in.
I love that. I love that so much. And I love that you led with that, because I actually say that a lot when I do speaking engagements for women groups. I'll ask people to, you know, raise your hand if you can tell me like who you are, but put your hand down if the first thing you were going to tell me is your job title or who your mother, you know. It's like you said, it's a beautiful part of who we are. It's an important part of who we are, but we are also so much more. And it's because of that so much more that allows us to pour so beautifully into those other things that we do. So I love that you led with that. The reason I wanted to have this conversation with you, when I think about you, I wrote down like, what are the words that come to my mind when I think about Maddie? And I wrote joyful, generous, and thoughtful. Those are the first three words that came to my mind. Thank you. I'm like, for people who have arrived, who are joyful, who are generous, who are thoughtful, and like, how do they get to that place? And so you said you bet it on yourself. What's one or two ways that you've bet on yourself and you're so glad that you did?
I actually tell this story often. I recently just said it at a conference, but it's actually one of my favorite stories. And in 2009, spoiler, I won Miss Liberia USA, but no one in my family thought I was going to win because I don't have an accent. I wasn't born in Liberia, but because both of my parents are Liberian, I still qualified for the pageant. But my parents were like, you don't cook any Liberian food. You know, you don't necessarily go to all the parties or the events. So they were just like, oh, you're probably just not going to win. And I was engaged to Chris, my husband at the time, and he was the only person, he was the sole person who thought I was going to win. And he was like, don't listen to them, babe, just go ahead. So I ended up winning the state pageant. And so I won Miss Liberia, Georgia first. And the woman who was the first runner up was literally like, if Liberia had a Barbie doll, this was that woman. She's still just stunning, just absolutely perfect, incredibly social, you know, and also brilliant, you know. But I just went in with such a conviction. Like, the only reason why I even entered the Miss Liberia Georgia pageant was to win Miss Liberia USA. Like, the state pageant was not even a concern of mine. I was like, this is just part of the process to go win the national pageant. And no one thought I was going to win. Everybody called me the Quee girl. Quee in our culture means that she's very American, you know, kind of whitewashed, you know, so they just, everybody just underestimated me, which gave me even more like fuel in my tank, to be honest. But here's also the truth, Shantae, is that I really deeply love being Liberian. And I think in addition to that confidence and conviction that I had, this genuine joy of being a Liberian girl meant so much to me. And I think the thing that really helped me win the state pageant was that we had to give a speech on our platform. My platform was getting back to our roots and really just going and talking to our elders, talking to our relatives, and really learning about the culture, because so many Liberian people my age were born in the States like me. So long story short, I said this speech, and the night before I had practiced it, it was like such a well-written speech. And I said it to my husband. He goes, great, now go and memorize it. And I was like, what? Like, I was just so taken aback. He wasn't impressed by the speech alone. He was like, yeah, go and memorize it. And just taking it that step further, going from good to great, which is such a, I think those are the moments I realized I never gave up on myself, where it's like, good isn't good enough. Mm. Let's push it a little bit further. I think are all the reasons why I've been able to succeed in the different ways I have. Fast forward to the national pageant. I think the reason why I won there was the final question, which was, if you could do one thing for Liberia, what would you do and why? If you could, I think they said, if you could change one thing, most people of course said education. A lot of people said, you know, helping women and children. My answer was the confidence of the people, because I was reading a book at the time called Confidence, which was by a Harvard Business School author. And Liberia is a war-stricken country. We were in a civil war for almost two decades. And I was like, if you could change the confidence and the overall mindset of a group of people, you can easily change all the other things. And I think people were so taken aback by it not sounding like the cliche answer, but it also helped me realize that things like reading the books the podcasts you listen to, that they contribute to your steps to success really opened my eyes. And so that was one major way I bet on myself when everyone totally, absolutely did not think I was going to win.
And then not even your own mama.
Not even my own mama. And we laugh about that now. She was like, girl, I just did not know if you were going to pull it off. And I think too, she was like, she's like, I didn't doubt your ability. She was just like, I know those things are very biased and people look at, like, you know, who they know and all of that. But she's like, I'm so glad you didn't listen to me. And I'm like, yeah, me too.
I love that. I was trying to like rapidly take notes while still like watching you.
For sure.
I love watching people when they tell the stories, because you can, it's so different from just listening, because you can see the joy in their face or the way, you know. So I just wanted to be watching, but like not forget these things that you're saying that
for sure.
I gleaned so much goodness from. The first thing is, you knew who you were. You know who you are. You said, you know, yes, I wasn't born in Liberia, but I am a descendant. My parents are Liberian, and therefore I am Liberian. And so just as I listen to you talk about that, I think one of the key foundations is knowing who you are and owning that. And you did. You didn't say, you're right, I don't look like, you know, runner-up girl who looks like, if you make a Liberian woman on a Barbie, it is her, right?
Literally.
You are like, but also this is what Liberia looks like, because I am, in fact, Liberian. And you stood there in that and you owned it. And I think that is such a key foundation for all of us in anything that we're doing, is really being clear on like who we are and standing in that, even when it doesn't look like what everyone else says. But isn't that what this is supposed, isn't this what a mom is supposed to look like? Isn't this what a Black woman is supposed to look like? And it's like, I am that, even though I don't look like what you think the standard fit of that is. So that's like the first thing I heard. And it's just, and then another thing, we talked about the confidence and the mindset, man, like, that's why, like, I see why you won, right? Because that in itself was just like, everyone's like, what? I just, as I listened to that, it's just, it's true. And that could then have a cascading effect on the things that other people were talking about.
Absolutely. Like
you went to the root.
And you know, now thinking about it, because I remember when I said the answer, there was almost like a hush in the crowd, right? Because it was just something that just wasn't expected. And I got to be honest, I didn't even, because you don't get to see the questions before you get up there. It was just something that was currently in my brain because of what I was reading. So I wasn't expecting that to come out of my mouth either, but I'm so glad I did, because that's truly what I believe. And I still believe that if you can change the mindset and the confidence of anyone to believe in what they want to accomplish, they will absolutely accomplish it. They don't need the education. They don't even need the experience. They just need the actual belief. And I think once you understand that, gosh, it's such an advantage. It really is such an advantage, because then you're willing to do the work, which was like really my experience, right? I have the confidence and the mindset, right? Even though I didn't have the best clothing, I didn't have all of the friends in that community or whatnot, but it was like, but I got the mindset. Don't even worry. All the other things will fall in place.
I love to hear how that has unfolded in your life, because maybe you were always confident, Maddie, always very self-aware, mentally strong, Maddie. But how has that evolved in your life? How did you get to this place of having the confidence and having this mindset of understanding that I can bet on myself? Where did that come from? Or what life experiences helped to strengthen that within you?
Well, I have to give so much credit to my parents, who have always encouraged me that I can do anything I put my mind to. And as long as I'm willing to do the work, which again, I know can maybe sound kind of cliche, but it was something that they repeated. It wasn't like this, like once upon a time, my dad told me this. It was something that when I was like 5 and 6, when I was 15 and 16, like throughout my life. And they still say that now, you know, just like I just wrote my first book and they were like, of course you can do that. And it can definitely be a bestseller. Like they're just always really affirming and encouraging. Mm-hmm. And I want to make sure that I'm that kind of parent. I want to make sure I'm that kind of wife, that kind of friend, sister. I want to be that kind of person. Encouragement is so important to me. But my parents very consistently encouraged me. But I think also I was just underestimated for so many different reasons throughout my life. Like I was the token Black kid all my life, you know? So I was always looked at under this lens of just, you know, being the different one, right? So, mm-hmm. you know, but, you know, in the good and bad ways, right? I always heard I was pretty for a Black girl, you know? And I talk about this in my book where I was like, in hindsight, I now understand that being beautiful really is important to me, because so many times I was told I was beautiful for a this, you know what I mean? I was, you know, like there was always a caveat to, or disclaimer to, like why I did yeah. something well. And so mm-hmm. I think that is why I present the way I present. But yeah. I also understand too that, you know, growing up, I was always an anomaly in a sense. And so there were so many instances where I remember when I was, I think, 5 or 6, I was in ballet class. And I think it was the first time I realized, like, I was different than the other kids. Like, it was like all white kids. And I just mm-hmm. got overwhelmed. I don't even remember if like somebody said something to me that triggered it. I just had like my own like realization, and I ran out. And my mom was like, "What's going on?" And I was like, "I'm different than all the kids. Like, my hair doesn't look like them. My skin doesn't look like them. Like, I am different." And she's like, "Yeah, but," she's like, "can you dance just as good as them?" And I was like, "Yeah." And she's like, "Can you, you know, can you speak just as good as them?" And I was like, "Yeah." She's like, "So who cares if you're different? As long as you're good, it doesn't matter if you're different." And so I think that really also sowed a seed. And I think that was just really kind of the beginning of so much encouragement from my parents. But yeah, I think it just stems from that. And then also, I think my personality type is that I always wanted to be like a star. I always wanted to be a celebrity. Like, I was obsessed with pop culture. I loved all things MTV and BET. I always thought that I was going to become a singer when I grew up. And obviously that has not happened, but but I always knew I was going to be a star. And so I think being underestimated and then having this belief and fascination with pop culture and superstardom and all of that, I think the culmination of those things internally, I just kind of always had that little voice inside of me that said, yeah. "You can do it, Maddie, you can do it, you know, give it a try. You never know." Maybe it's, you know, kind of just like blind optimism, but I do think it is a mindset that has kept me going for so long.
Yeah. And it's, I mean, I think, and it permeates out of all the things you do. One of the things that I love about you, and it's so funny, I wrote this down before I saw the title of your book, which I can't wait to talk about. And I wrote that she really just makes like the everyday feel like just celebratory. And there's something in every day to just be so excited about, even if you're excited because, like, look at this beautiful new pin, look at this beautiful new dress, look at this beautiful way I've styled this, look at my beautiful new mug that I'm going to, it's just something in every day. I was just like, she brings that everyday joy. So your book is just so spot on with that. And that's what I want to talk to you about also, because we have a lot of listeners. Our listeners are primarily women who really desire to live an intentional life. And for them, it's also like the season of life that they're in sometimes can present challenges. We have a lot of mothers in our audience. We have a lot of teachers. We have a lot of people who are full-time students and working full-time. And it's like that can overshadow sometimes finding that joy in the everyday. Right. How is it that you arrive to this place, and how is it that you exhibit this even now in your life to the place where you are finding something to celebrate in the everyday? You just make the everyday, because I believe every day is a gift. You exude that. Talk to us about that. Like, how you arrive there and how do you do that?
You know, I do think it's the root is gratefulness. I always say that gratefulness is the currency of favor. So I do think the more grateful you are, the better life is, right? Because you just are coming from a place where you're like, okay, even though today isn't the best, there is this pocket that I'm really thankful for, right? And mm-hmm. really kind of shifting the mindset from I have to I get to, you know what I mean? Like, oh, I have to go cook dinner for the kids, right? Versus I get to, like, there's so many people who don't have this luxury. They don't know what their next meal is. And so always keeping that kind of mindset has been really important to me. You know, the book is called Everyday Magic. And for me, I talk to so many women, my sister, my friends, you know, my followers. And a lot of times when I talk to women and I ask them about their lives, eventually we get to a point where they either say it's so much or it's overwhelming. And we do have a lot of work to do as women. We have a lot. We have full plates. I don't know if that always has to equate overwhelm. And I also think that what it can do is be joyful if we decide that it's joyful, right? I want people to have joy about their lives because we're actually miracles, right? Like if we break down sex ed, right? Yes. If we want to get into the biological, like we're each of us who are alive yes. right now, we're each miracles.
Yes.
And you know what? It's coming to me now. And it's funny because I think sometimes I almost try to suppress it because I was laughing. My neighbor one time called me a Disney princess. She's like, you're just always happy in hair and makeup ready. And I was like, but I genuinely feel this way. And I know that it might come off kind of weird, but I rather risk coming off like, you know, almost too much. And hopefully that joy rubs off on you. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because I want you to be genuinely joyful about what you get to do today, right? If you get to go to work, if you get to go be a mom, if you get to be somebody's spouse or partner, like all of these things, you know, to an extent, we decided that we are going mm-hmm. to do. And so it's like, let's lead with joy, you know? And I think it's become unpopular to be joyful. Everything is so deep. And what my favorite thing about joy is it's not deep. It's deliberate, right? Like it's yes. something you have to intend. You cannot fake joy. Mm-hmm. You can fake being nice. You can fake being cool. Faking being joyful is hard, if not impossible to do. It's a really yeah. deliberate decision. Mm-hmm. But I really want everyone to be joyful in their everyday. And especially because I think, and I talk about this in the book, I said, I don't want your joy to be exclusive to your birthday, to a holiday, or to a vacation. Like your joy deserves to show up in your everyday yes. life. Like when you go out on a vacation, I don't want you to regret coming back to your everyday life. I want you to look forward yeah. to it. I want you to almost miss it. You know what I mean? Like we were talking about that the other day. It was like, I enjoy trips, but oh my God, when I show up back home and I get to see the kids and I get back in my routine, I'm so joyful because yeah. I've designed a life where the fuel of my life is joy. And I really want to instill that into everyone. But furthermore than the joy, the book, I wrote the book because I also wanted to be like, you don't have to be everything to everybody. That is not a requirement for joy, right? Like the book doesn't teach you how to do it all. We touch many different things, the things that I think contribute to our joy. But it's like, if, you know, you don't have to wear a dress every day. Like wearing dresses every day makes me happy. But if you're really into sneakers, girl, let's build this sneaker collection out,
yes.
right?
Yeah.
And so for me, it's like, let's figure out what matters to you. To the point that it brings you joy, and then let's inject that into your everyday life.
Yeah.
And I think that's yes. where it starts from.
Absolutely. I love that you said joy is deliberate. And I was just saying that to my daughter, who was explained to me a moment in which she was not happy. And I was talking to her about joy. And I was like, you know, the cool thing about joy is we could be in a situation where maybe we're not happy about something, but we can possess joy. Like I think joy to me is just this underlying thing that helps us ride through the other emotions and the other parts of life, because joy doesn't mean I'm not experiencing challenges. Joy doesn't mean right. I didn't have something happen today that knocked the wind out of me. Joy isn't exclusive to that. It's not one or the other.
Right.
And that's the beautiful right. thing I love about joy. And that I wanted to ask you, I feel like you said it too. You said joy has become like it's not popular. And it's so interesting to me that we live in a culture, one that thinks we should know everybody's business. We should have access to all mm-hmm. the parts of someone's life. And it's a lot easier to believe the drama and the chaos. Like you mm-hmm. can see that in someone's life and you're not going to question, oh, that's probably fake. That's probably not real. That drama. Mm-hmm. But when you see the joy, the gratitude, just the finding something good in every day, that almost comes off when it's done consistently as, that's disingenuous. That can't be real, you know? And it's so interesting because the opposite, we're like, yep, that's good.
Yeah,
that's
tea, you exactly. know?
And it's just like, how do you respond to that? I don't know if you've ever gotten that observation or that critique of this isn't a full picture or it's not real. What I would love to hear, what's your thought or response to that when people do respond to you in that, you know, it can't all, every day can't be this. You can't always be this joyful every day. What do you say to that?
My favorite question, which my kids taught me, why can't it be that? Right. Because it's like, if we have time to be outraged every single day, we're out. I'm like, and I was right. talking to my sister today. I was like, the willingness to be outraged every day is alarming to me. It's really like, I'm like, you guys think I'm the crazy one? I'm like, like, are we all really this outraged all the time? Like, you know what I mean? So,
yes.
But I'm like, why can't it? Because honestly, it's the same energy just at the other end of the spectrum, right? The same amount of work it takes to be pissed, outraged, upset. You can take it and shift it and be like, girl, I am joyful. You know what I mean? Like, the kids literally whipped our tail last night. Like, we woke up at 6 this morning and all three of my children were in the bed. And I was like... like, it was like, what of that? I was like, all right, yep. you know, this, you know, like, I was like, someone's foot is in my back right now, you know, yeah. but we have a bed big enough where our whole family can sleep in it to feel safe. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. it's just like, so it's like, yeah, I was a little annoyed that, you know, yeah, so I woke up with somebody's foot in my back, but golly, mm-hmm. what a great problem to have, you know, like yeah. that person's foot can stand up and walk to their room now and get ready for school. And I think I can afford to pay for their school. I'm always willing to shift that energy. I'm always willing because it always works out in my favor. And yes, there is a lot of stuff to actually be outraged about, to be very, you know, concerned about, to hold certain people and systems accountable. However, there's also, I can also zoom in. I can narrow that lens into my life, right? Yes. And my village and the people I directly serve. And I'm like, well, how can I come from a place of joy and from gratefulness and do that? Because when I'm joyful, when I'm deliberate, when I'm intentional, right? Because that, to me, that's what the book really focuses on is, right? Like, magic is a framework, right? Everyday magic isn't just like some random, like, you know, phrase I came up with one day. It was really about like, okay, how do I make everyday matter in like a real way? One that's sustainable, right? Because if it's just, you know, it's not everyday happy, because happiness isn't sustainable. Cause it's like, I did not feel that way at 6 o'clock this morning when my son's foot was in my back. It was not happy. Okay. But, you know, What about every day is meaningful? What about it is aesthetically pleasing? What about it is goal oriented? What about it is intentional, that I can be intentional about? And what about it can I make consistent? If you can make every day these five things, the joy will just seep out. You will literally be trying to like catch all of it because it's so deliberate. And I love the framework because it applies to anyone in any season of your life, whether you're a parent or not, whether you're married or not, whether you're making the amount of money or not, whether you're an entrepreneur or you have a corporate gig, this matters in every single thing, right? You can teach magic to your kids, everyday magic to your kids. It's because it's a life framework. It's a life framework. If you can make something meaningful and aesthetically pleasing, goal-oriented, intentional, and consistent, how will you lose? How will you lose?
You
can't.
You are speaking my language. I'm over here like, what do I sign? Where to get the book, please? I mean, that magic, that formula, what I love about it and what I love about principles in general is that it's not just for this. This is not for this small segment of the population. Literally anybody under the sound of my voice can use that and then apply it to their life, their values, their season, and have everyday magic.
Yes.
That is,
it was so good. Important to me to make sure, thank you. It was so important to me to write the book I was supposed to write as well, right? Because I thought about it. I was like, ooh, I'm not getting people together. I'm not, you know, I just looked at other things that people have written. I looked at, you know, I look at the language on social media, what's going on in the news cycle. And again, it really wasn't anything that I currently saw or anything like that. But that told me that I was going in the right direction, right? Because it's the same feeling I had when I won Miss Liberia USA. It was like, I'm not like everybody else here. I'm not. And it's like, that's fine. That's exactly what we need.
Yes. You stand out. You really do. Just even and you exemplify it, which makes all the sense why you would write this book, because it's what you've been writing already through the things you share with us on social, through your blog, through the work that you do. You are showing us what that looks like, which makes people believe it's attainable. And now you're going to give them that roadmap in this book, which I'm so excited about. And that's really the word every day. It just came to my mind. It's just like every day she has that thing. And like you were talking about with the energy, you're going to expend the energy anyway. One of those energies doesn't give back to your body. I think about like when you're using that energy to think about the thing, because it's funny you mentioned that my son went to bed with his foot in my back. He wanted to go to sleep with me, but I once like, he fell happening? Asleep. Right. And he's not like an even sharer. He takes up the entire space. Oh, no. And then the adults find themselves like on the cusp of the bed. And we're like, how did this happen?
And it's so like, I pay mortgage here. Why am I right on the edge of the bed?
It is not equal sharing, but his foot was in my back. So when you said that, I just chuckled. Once he fell asleep, I carried him. But it was funny. Even as I was carrying him, I was thinking, I'm so grateful that I was his safe space. Tonight, he just wanted to cuddle up and feel safe and go to sleep next to me. He wanted to feel mom. And that's a privilege to be a place of safety for him, where he could get rest.
An actual privilege to be somebody's like, to safe be space. That.
Yes. And that's, and that's just what I thought about as I was saying, go to your room. You have the newest bed in the house. Please go with it. But at the same time, I reminded myself as I was like carrying him back to his bed, like, he wanted the comfort of me. What a privilege. And it's that energy gave something back to me, as opposed to the energy carrying him to his room. Okay, I should be asleep right now, but now I just lost those 15 minutes. Let him go to sleep. Like both of those, that energy was going to then carry itself into when I did go to sleep, and maybe into my dreams and maybe into my morning. Yep. And that was going to be destructive. But thinking about the joy of being his safe space, it gives back. That energy gives back to you, as opposed to depleting you. So if you have the
ROI
choice.
On joy, man, the ROI on joy always outnumbers anything else, in my opinion. And anytime you can stop and say, what's the joy in this, right? Where it's like, okay, this was hard, right? I think about it because I hate working out. I hate it. It's like just one of those things I do because, we have to stay healthy. Fine.
Like I do it.
You know, I'm like, I'm going to my stupid workout for my stupid health, you know?
Yeah, right.
So, but then I think about it and I'm like, I am able-bodied. Like I have joy that my body is able to make you know what I'm saying? Like, again, I know this might be a new way of thinking for somebody listening, right?
Yeah.
But it's worth the shift, really, because you show up in a different way. And even if you're like the only person that thinks like this in your family, in your group of friends, you know, amongst your coworkers, what happens is it starts to infiltrate. That's my favorite thing about joy. It's delivered and it's contagious.
I love it.
Yeah. And so what happens is, you know, I'll have people like, whether it's like, I was talking to my brand manager who's been with me for 8 years this year, which is wild and we talk about it all the time. And I'm like, you have such an incredible life. And she's like, you absolutely have everything to do with that. And I was like, you know, we just started talking, but she's like, when I see you, she's like, you have so much going on. She's like, I have one kid, you have three. She's like, but you still show up like, you know, she's like presentable and excited to do the work even on the hard days. And she's like, I realize that I have permission to show up that way too. And I think that's what joy does, right? That every, you know, your everyday magic gives permission to someone else to have their version of that too, right?
Yes.
And I try to overemphasize that the book, and even as a content creator, my goal is not to create a bunch of mini-me's and like, you have to live your life like me, or this is how I do this. My goal is to say, I have found what matters to me and figured out why it brings me joy. You now have permission to do that as well.
Absolutely. That's the thing. You being yourself gives me the permission to say, you know what? Like you just said, someone who's listening to this. Okay. She said, I don't fit the part of what people might think for Miss Liberia. I don't X, Y, and Z, but I'm going to, she still showed up. Where are the places where I'm telling myself, I don't fit the part. I don't have the qualifications that the paper says, but I feel compelled to do this or try this. If she could do it for her, and that's what I always try to remind people. Like, part of the reason, one of the few things I do love about social media is I hope people see when you are showing up as yourself, it's not even to point the picture finger at me. It's as a mirror to say, now you go do that. You go have that joy. You go find that thing you like. It doesn't have to be a floral dress, although I'm with you with the floral dresses. Like, we share a love of that. And stripes. Yes. Give me stripes. Give me floral.
They just don't all the days. You. They really don't.
They do not. And you can't have enough as far as I'm concerned, because they keep making them. But it's just like, it's not to say go buy the florals. It's to say now figure out what you feel like, what brings this feeling to you that you want to show people on the internet your rack of them, because there's something that gets you excited. Like you said, it could be your sneakers. It could be your glasses. Yep. It could be anything.
Exactly. Yeah. And it gets me excited. That's it. It gets you excited. And it's fine to, yes, we understand that there's a bunch of bad things happening in the world. We understand it. And this is not an excuse to ignore those things. However, you're allowed to be deliberately, visibly joyful, excited about your life every single day, simply because you opened your eyes and woke up.
At Best Today, we exist to help women just like you be your best one today at a time. So each week on the podcast, we are going to highlight your stories and your voices. So let's see what's in the inbox today.
Hey, Best Today community. So I wanted to talk to you guys today about how I use the Plans Be Done and the weekly planning pad. I've been using them since right before like Thanksgiving 2021. And I have to tell you, the end of Q4 2021 for me was just a hard business time. I was kind of stuck, you know, when you get stuck and you can't take that step forward. And I used these pads, specifically the Plans Be Done first, to just get the clutter out of my mind. And what I loved about the format was it helped me focus on my why and helped me to really kind of hone in on what was important with how I moved forward. And then I was able to take, so once I mapped it out on the Plans Be Done, I was able to take that, build it into small increments, and start building it into my weekly pad. I love, love, love the weekly planning pad. I cannot operate without that on a weekly basis. I take every Sunday to sit down, review what I posted previously on my weekly planning pad, move anything forward, and just map out my day on a very light level. I use other tools like Outlook, et cetera, to do like the minute planning. But the weekly planning pad allows me to kind of have the freedom and clarity while getting messy on a piece of paper. And I really love both tools together.
Thank you so much, Jess, for sharing your experience with the Plans Be Done planning pad and the weekly preview pad. These tools are available for you right now at bestdayguide.com to help you to be intentional and proactive with your time. I love hearing how you all mix and match the different resources that we have available for you that work specifically for you. And if you're not sure where to start, we got you covered. Go to besttodayguide.com/quiz. Take the quiz. It's a short few questions, and we will tell you which product is best for what you need right now. That's besttodayguide.com/quiz. besttodayguide.com/quiz.
You have many reasons why, but that reason alone is a reason to be joyful and say, you know what, we're going to give it a try to get it right today, you know? And that's really the attitude I really have day to day. I'm like, you know what, Lord, thank you so much for giving me another opportunity to get it right. That's what I look at every day as. It's another opportunity to get it right, because I've gotten it wrong before. I've burnt dinner. I've yelled at my kid when I knew I should have been more patient. Yep. You know what I mean? It's like, did I talk to my husband today? You know, like I've had so many moments But you're allowed to fall short and still be joyful about the person you are and still be saying, you know, but a lot of time, you know, because it's so easy to be like, you know, talk down to yourself or talk down to somebody who didn't get it right and stuff like that. What about encouragement?
Yes.
What about encouragement? You know, it's easy to be negative, in my opinion. It's easy. Yes. it's popular now too, right? Because everybody jumps on the train. The trend is like, oh, I can't believe they did that. Oh, she did that. Oh my gosh, remember what she said 8 years ago? And it's like, we're judging people for what they did. It's okay, yes. fine. You know what I mean? And so I'm not saying we shouldn't take accountability or ownership, right? But then let's also take ownership and accountability of joy and encouragement and those things as well. You know, like if somebody is having a bad day or missed the mark, my first thing isn't how to get them together. It's like, how can I encourage them for them to show up the next day and actually get it right? Because that's the kind of talk I have to give to myself, right? Mm-hmm. Me having a bad moment as a mom doesn't mean I'm a bad mom, right? Me missing the task on my things to do list doesn't mean that I'm irresponsible, right? Me having a bad day doesn't mean I have a bad life. But we've gotten to this place where we've allowed these things where it's like, okay, now I can go into this woe is me. Oh my goodness. Let's just go ahead and snowball it, you know? And it's like, you're allowed to miss the mark and still have joy. And like, you know what? Thank God I have a life where missing the mark did not completely shatter my life.
Absolutely. You know? And, you know, as you were talking, I thought about the fact that what I have learned in myself as I have grown and evolved is the more I'm self-aware and have this joy, it allows me to look at people differently. I definitely was one of those people like, this is the standard. You need to rise up to this standard. If you were doing your job correctly, you know, and that has softened because I think about it. Now my response is, I want to understand what's happened here because something has happened. Okay. Mm-hmm. Something went wrong. There's something that may be going on in this person's life. There's something that a misunderstanding. Was it something that I didn't communicate, which I have learned very much from being, you know, having employees, having team members, you learn that like, actually I usually look at myself first. I'm like, what did I fail to do to communicate what I was looking for? And did I give them what they needed to do it? And usually the answer is, oh, here's where I could have done differently so that you could have done this differently. And it's just, but that really for me, I noticed it came when I was more compassionate with myself, when I was looking at things with an eye of just space to be human. That's like the thing I'm on right now. It's like allowing ourselves to have a human experience. That's I've been harping on this so much lately. Like you said, understanding that, yes, I could have messed something up. I yelled yesterday, but I'm a fantastic mom. And I took my friends laugh because I say that all the time. I'm a fantastic mom. I'm a fantastic mom who yelled. I apologize. Yes. I realized when I yelled, I was already coming from a place where I was thinking about 17 different things and I wasn't fully in the moment. So they weren't getting all mom. They were getting like 40% mom, 60% of someone being over there. So now I know next time I'm going to go in this space, I need to make sure I'm ready to be 100% so I could be focused there. And it's just the self-awareness of understanding our role and then also having a generous view of what that story might be on the other side. Right. That has been a huge shift for me because I very much was kind of like, if I'm going to meet the standard, you got to meet the standard and you need to get it right the first, you know? And that's another beautiful thing about it. And another thing, and you wrote about this, I think I saw it on your Instagram recently, maybe just yesterday, you were talking about overflow in a full cup. When we have that joy, that's because whatever you're full of and overflowing of, that's what's going to pour out on other people. Yep. That's another reason why I think it's so important for us to, one, I always share that with women is like, we have to take care of ourselves because what's going to happen is if you're full of resentment and bitterness because you skipped the workout or you skipped the thing you want to do. If someone knocks into your cup that's full, whatever's in it's going to spill over and that's overflow isn't going to be what we want. So we want that joy to be the thing that overflows. And that's that is so real. It's whatever's in you and filling up. That's the thing that's going to be to spill over. So putting that in you not only benefits you, it benefits the people that are around you in every setting. And I think as you're talking, I was thinking that's exactly what it is. That joy has so many, like you said, the ROI is so high. It's not only for you, but the people who get to, like you said, your team member who's like, that's because that overflow has kind of rubbed down to me and it's helped me to see things differently. And I'm really hoping this conversation is going to help someone when they're ready to think of a question that would flip them negatively. I'm always about like internal dialogue. And one of my favorite, I just have so many things like, you know, what can I learn in this moment? How do I want to respond in this moment? Before we do go to the, like you said, negative is so easy. There's actually, I learned a negativity bias. Our brain is meant to hold on to negative experiences more out of protection. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so we naturally will be more negative. Like we remember more.
Oh,
and
yeah.
So we have fight for that and counteract that and say, but hold on, what's real here? How can I look at this situation with gratitude or with joy?
What's real here? What a question.
Yeah.
What a question. Because it's like, joy is real. And I keep on coming back to that. I'm like, joy is real. It's real. Like, because I was like, guys, and that's my favorite thing about joy is the sustainability of it, mm-hmm. right? Is that it comes back in so many different ways, right? I think mm-hmm. is that joy, one, making space, right? To be human, the thing I harp on in the book is give yourself space for grace, because mm-hmm. we don't make space for that. So that's why we often don't give it to ourselves. But have you actually allotted a place for grace in your life, whether it's for you first and foremost, and then you're able to extend it to others. But what I'm realizing is that a lot of us are not equipped with that. And so that is why so many times we don't give it to others. That's why, you know, cancel culture is such a thing, right? It's like, you don't know how to extend grace because you believe that your misstep now is a part of your identity.
Yes.
When it was just really a part of the incident. That's it. So it's going to happen. So now you think that because somebody had a misstep, right, that now defines them. And it's like that. It just doesn't. It you know, it was part of the incident, but it's not necessarily part of their identity, right? We're allowed to grow. We're allowed to evolve. And I think the other thing is, and it goes back to what you were saying, is that more than anything, even more than love, people need understanding. Because people love each other and still kill each other all the time. But if I understand you, mm-hmm. there's a much more likelihood of peace. And if you ask my 7-year-old what we have in this house, she's going to tell you peace every single time.
Top priority in my life. It's how I make every decision. What decision will bring me peace? That's it.
Peace, joy, and understanding. That's really what I'm on right now. Mm-hmm. And because it's allowed me to forgive myself for my missteps, you know, mm-hmm. because also what I'm learning as somebody who is an internet professional is that, you know, people like try to like bring up what you did one time at like, and it's like, and again, you're like, oh, am I this kind of person? And it's like, look at like the thousands of times you were not that. And yes, you had a misstep, you had a bad day, right? But it's like, It's like people are like, you're not allowed to have a bad day. I can't believe that you. And it's like we realistically all have bad days at our
house.
You know what I mean? Like we all like to, you know, say something sarcastic to our spouse or, you know, snap on our kids. Like, no, don't do that. Don't touch that. You know, to this morning, my 4-year-old just did not want to put on her shoes. It was like a 10-minute mm-hmm. conversation to put on shoes. And I was cutting up their strawberries for breakfast. And I was using, you know, like a little paring knife. And she finally asked me to help her after saying no, like 11 mm-hmm. times. And so I tossed the knife on the counter or whatnot. And my seven-year-old goes, Mom, I didn't like how you tossed the knife. I didn't like how you threw the knife on the table. And I said, I am really sorry. I did not realize that I did it so aggressively. And I will definitely make sure I pay attention to that next time. And in that moment, I had lost my patience with my 4-year-old. So it's easy to be like, oh my gosh, I shouldn't have done that. Da, 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 da. I'm so proud of the mom I am because I really am so open and really defaulted to apologize to my kids if in fact I did miss the mark. Mm-hmm. Because my parents have done that and it changed my life.
Yeah.
You know, where even as an adult, where they're like, you know what, that was not the right move, but I'm really sorry. That's all I had in my emotional toolbox, but I'm really sorry. Right. Like, even though that was all they knew, they still apologize. It wasn't a justification, but they were like, hey, I'm still sorry. And so, because I'm like, that's how many apologies would free so many of us? If our parents, right. Let's not even like apologies from random. If our parents just apologize to us, how many of us would that free? And so, but I was also proud that our home is a space where she felt safe to even tell me that exactly she didn't like that. Yes. And I was like, oh, come on, emotional intelligence. I was so proud of her. And I remember saying that to her one time, because sometimes she can be reserved. I'm like, you're allowed to tell me if you don't like how mommy does something, right? Because in the house, I tell them we don't do disrespect, dishonesty, or disobedience. But you're allowed to not like something. We can disagree without disrespecting each other.
Yes.
You know what I mean? We can be scared to say something without being dishonest. You know what I mean? If we agree that this is the rule in our house, if this is the routine, let's not disobey that, right?
Yeah.
Because that's also the rule for all of us, right? That we don't do those three things, right? It's not just a rule for the kids. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, it was really such an aha moment for me this morning, you know, because it's just like, you know, I had such immense joy in that moment, even though it was a misstep. I love that we just created a space where she could tell me that. And yeah, like without even thinking about it, I apologize.
Yes.
Because it was the right thing to do.
Yeah. And even as you were telling that, I was thinking, man, what opportunities. She felt safe and she had the freedom. She had the voice. She knew she could do that. She could tell you, because I think about it, I don't know if I ever felt like, I don't know if I was never told, like, you can't tell me this, but I don't know as a child if I felt that freedom to say, you know, mom, I didn't like the way you did that. Or if I did, mm-hmm. it would have been like after contemplate, okay, how exactly do I want to say
exactly
it? What words do I use? Make sure I'm smiling, you know, like making sure it comes across.
Absolutely.
That freedom.
Yeah. And it's important, man. It's important to give people freedom, especially our children, because I think the thing we often forget are that children are people.
Yes.
And it was important to me to tell her that. I was like, you're allowed to tell me if you don't like how I do something anytime, mm-hmm. anytime. You're allowed to tell me that. I try to be very deliberate about how I'm communicating to my kids, just because growing up with very disciplinary and West African parents, I certainly did not have the liberties that I am now giving to my children.
Mm-hmm. Same.
So I'm really like, hey, you know, and my 4-year-old is like, she's going to tell you how she feels. I did not even need to tell her that she could tell me how she feels.
Number two.
I'm married to a number two. So I definitely know I'm a number one. So I'm very like people pleasing and, you know, I'm like, this is
not by the book. Yeah. Yes, yeah. Yes. I love that. What I hear just consistently through everything that you've said and shared is just this intentionality with the life you've created, from the way you view yourself, the way you view, you know, your parents, even the beautiful relationship you have with them, with the choices you make with parenting is intentionality. Like you're doing these things on purpose. And I think using magic is clearly right. Intentional. That's the I, right?
Yeah, that's the I. Yep.
It's that beautiful and consistency, like just doing that over and over. I'm so excited for it. Let's talk about the book and we already said who it's for. It reaches everyone because it's giving them that platform. But
I will say it is for millennial women. You know, maybe even a Gen Z woman, but I do think it's for millennial women. I think because we've been through so much, which is why I think the joy is not the popular thing, right? I'm like, I was 16 when 9/11 happened, right? Then I like got married during like, what was it? Is it the Great Recession? Is that what
crash,
they called it?
All the, yeah. Yep.
Then, you know, I'll just call it that administration happened.
Right.
Then the pandemic. administration happened. Then the pandemic. Now we're going through inflation. Like we've been hit. Like what I feel like since I was 16, I feel like I've been hit at least. It was like, it's like traumatic Olympics. It's like every 4 years, it's like, damn. Okay.
You know? Something else. Right. Yes.
You know, so So I want to make sure I over reiterate that the joy isn't easy. It's like something you have to literally hold your grip onto, right?
Yeah.
Because it's easy to, you know, lose your grip on that. You know what I mean? If you just go on Twitter for 15 minutes, you will certainly lose your grip of joy. Or the 24/7 news cycle, right? The news cycle will have you just throw joy right out the window.
So
you have to be very careful with what you are, your input, because that is definitely going to determine your output. I listen to music. I watch shows that make me happy, that bring actual joy. You know, I realized that when I was watching a lot of like dark and like, you know, there's people love true crime and it's like, cool, but how much true crime do you need? You know what I mean? Like, is that, you know, contributing to your joy?
What are you pouring? Right.
Are you listening or watching something that at least balances that out, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I say this as a person who I don't want to watch a romantic comedy. Count me out. I want to, if it's not getting blown up, if there's not shooting, if somebody's not a superhero, I don't want to watch it. That's the kind of movies I like. But I also have to keep that balance. You know what I mean? Because if you just watch destruction all day.
Consumption. Yep. We're literally consuming. That's the thing I always try to iterate with people. And I'm like, even when you're looking at who you're ingesting, like it's consumption. Think about food. It's the same thing that has an effect on your body, your mind. It's the same thing. So be very mindful and intentional about what you are consuming. I love that.
Yeah. But the book is for millennial women like us. And anybody else can read it. I think a man could read it and gets from that. But because I am in a season where, you know, I'm married, I have small kids, you know, I'm an entrepreneur. I write from that perspective and hopefully I'm able to connect. And I just talk about my missteps, like where when I didn't have everyday magic and I was trying to be perfect or everything to everyone. And it just was such a, you know, I had such an outdated model of what peace and joy in my life should look like. And I really had to create a space and give myself permission to say, that's actually not what you want. And you don't have to want that, you know? And I think a lot of us need to be told that, whether we tell ourselves, our therapist tells us, or our mom tells us. But, you know, it's like, it's okay to have wanted something or had an idea of what you wanted and let that idea go. It's okay. It's okay to outgrow ideas. It's okay to outgrow dreams and create new ones. And, you know, hopefully Everyday Magic, the book, it gives permission to do that.
It absolutely will. I am so excited about it. When will the book be available for pre-orders? Because we're sending that link out to everybody on our list when it comes out ready.
Yeah, it's available now. So you can actually head you can go to maddiejames.com/everyday-magic and you can get it, or you can go to Amazon and you can pre-order it. So yeah, just, you know, my name and Everyday Magic and go get it. So we're super, 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 super excited. Yes. I can't believe I wrote a book. Like, it's been I wrote a book and I it's good. Like, I feel it's good. I think that's the thing.
Right? Yes. And you can stand behind. I am like ready to read, like hand in the air. We were going to drop the link to the pre-link in today's show notes, but I'm so excited. It just, as you broke down magic, I was just like, girl, if you don't stop speaking my language, I'm loving this. And it works. If every member of our audience is going to love this book, it's so fantastically great. I don't want to keep you much longer, but I do want to know, you know, we have women, millennial women who are listening to this podcast, who they want this magic. They're listening. Hopefully they're right now. They're even just smiling, saying, you know what? I'm going to claim this. And I love that you said you have to fight for it. I love that you said that, because I do want to make it clear that this isn't something you just wake up and it's easy, so that people are like, well, I tried and didn't work. It's like, well, how many things have you tried that were not easy? You have to, like, you really have to be intentional about fighting for.
Yes.
Sometimes literally feel like you're fighting for your joy, because there's someone out there trying to steal it, right? Literally. But I said, you think about that person who's listening, they say, I want that. Like, I want, they can hear your smile through their headphones and they want that, but somehow just the season of life or the challenges that they may be in seem to always overshadow that fight. What are your encouraging words to that person, that woman who is listening, who just wants some of this everyday magic, who wants that joy in her life?
Everyday magic is hard, but you can do hard things. Everybody listening here has gone through at least one hard thing. At least. Mm-hmm. You can do hard things. Like, you know, if you were born, you did a hard thing. Like the actual process of birth, you know, I'm very into motherhood, as you can tell.
Yes.
But then if you yourself are a mother and you've had children, a person came out of your body. You can do everyday magic, right? So I think one of the biggest mistakes we make is that when something is good, right, like joy, we, our immediate way our brains work is that, oh, it should be easy. Mm-hmm. All of us, right? If something's good, it should be easy. And it's like, no, that's actually not how any of this works. Mm-hmm. And I over reiterate that. I'm like, it takes work to find like personal style, to like find a style that makes you feel most like yourself. It's still worth going through that process. It takes work to make sure your home is in order in a way that helps you navigate your life in a great way, especially for us now too, who work from home, mm-hmm. you know, which I know has happened for so many of us over the last few years. So your home has to be in order, not just for life, but for work as well. Mm-hmm. So it takes work to put it in order in that way, but it still matters. You know, the reason why the book is not called The Magic of Life is because magic is a practice. Okay. It's not a destination. This is a journey that is ongoing, and you have to show up for magic every single day for it to actually make the difference in your life that you know it can. And my prayer is that people really understand that and still want to commit to their everyday magic, because again, the ROI on it is unmatched. And I love it because it's such a personalized ROI. Yeah. The ROI doesn't mean you're going to get the return I got on it. It's the return that you're supposed to get on it for your life and the assignment that is on your life.
Yes. So good. Thank you so much. I am so excited about this book. I know our audience, you know what? I think we may even do a book club on this. I think we're going to do a book club. It's out August 2020. We're going to do a book club.
August 2022. And we're so excited. August 23rd. So we're super excited. We will. Yeah, I'll definitely make sure that we keep you in the loop and get you a copy when it comes out.
I am so excited. Oh, it's when I get off of here, the link is already, you told me I'm going to get it. I am so excited. Congratulations.
Thank you, Shante. Betting on yourself.
Congratulations for believing in the things that are in your heart and mind, because that overflow, like you are living in the overflow, which is just such a gift in itself, because this book is a result of overflow. It had to pour out of you. And so now that this is going to do in other people's lives, so whatever it is that has continued to keep you grounded in who you are, I just pray that you continue to stay in that, because it is blessing so many people, Maddie, self included. You are a joy.
Oh, Shante, I appreciate it so much.
So thank you so much. Please tell everyone where they can connect with you. I'm going to put all the links in today's show notes, and we're also going to make sure we send that out to our entire email list as well.
Yeah. So everybody can follow me on social media across all platforms at The Maddie James, MATTIEJAMES. So The Maddie James. And then you guys can check out the site, the blog over at maddiejames.com. And of course, please pre-order Everyday Magic over on Amazon, or of course on my site, maddiejames.com/everyday-magic.
Done. And if you're listening and you're in the Best Day community, September, we are doing book club. We're reading this book together, all of us.
And I'm happy to come back and talk to you guys about it. If you guys want to chat about it,
that would be fantastic, because we're reading it. So it's a done deal. Thank you again for sharing your time, your resource. Time is a valuable resource, and I don't take it lightly that you shared some with me today and the Best Today audience, Maddie. So thank you so much again.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye.
If you enjoyed this week's episode of the Best Today podcast, you are going to love the Best Today guide. Our Better Than a Planner guide teaches you how to get clear on what you want, identify your self-destructive habits and behaviors, and intentionally create space to prioritize yourself every single day. Don't go the journey to being your best one today at a time without the Best Today guide. See inside its pages and order yours today at besttodayguide.com. Even better, when you order the Best Today Guide, we gift you with your first month free inside of the Best Today membership. So what are you waiting for? We're giving you everything you need to trade busy for intention. Go to besttodayguide.com and order yours today, and join thousands of women across the globe proclaiming each day, this is what my best today looks like.